A reading from Mark 10, 22-27. At this the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said it again. "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God."
Again, this is a continuation of what we were speaking about yesterday in the story of the rich young ruler or young man who comes and asks Jesus how he can earn eternal life. And here I think the story is built around the amazement of his followers, that it is somehow turning their understanding of reality, of life, of goodness, of virtue, and of godliness upside down, because they associate it with the prosperity that comes through leading the good life. It's almost like if you live proverbially and you have been good, God is going to reward you. And I think that's what they're responding to.
When Jesus basically turns it on its head a bit by saying, even your best efforts aren't going to save you. It's impossible with man. It's only possible with God. And he's setting up a standard here that's going to, once again, undercut their religious confidence, confidence in a religious life as being the thing that earns your way in.
Well, in my own life, all of these years after this is written and experienced, I've seen the same thing where the religion becomes the church becomes the comforter of the wealthy and the reinforcer of the idea that you're really good people, and it becomes part of a community of false belief in a way, because it's contrary to the entire biblical narrative of man falling away from God and having so much trouble finding his way back to God on his own.
Well, and then the whole thing happens is because we see this challenge that we can't make ourselves righteous, the pendulum can swing and say, so why do anything? But we do want to live righteously, but for the right reasons. The righteousness that we live is to worship God, to live a fruitful life, as opposed to earning our way into salvation. It's interesting this comes up because I was reading Proverbs 14 this morning in my quiet time, and in this it says, "Whoever walks in uprightness," the same idea of righteousness, "fears the Lord." And this whole concept of the fear of the Lord keeps coming up through the Proverbs. But he who is devious in his ways despises the Lord. And then the Proverbs go on to say, the result of the fear of the Lord is you have strong confidence in your life. It becomes a refuge for your children. It becomes a fountain of life for you. And so rather than righteousness being the goal to earn my way in, righteousness is a pursuit to live out the fullness of God's blessing in our life, marking that we are already in his family.
I think at the end of the 110th Psalm, it says something like this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think that is what the proverb is also saying. Stop turning the world upside down. It starts with God. And any righteousness you have comes through the grace of God, not the grace of you.
And the result of righteousness in our life is that we get to live out the blessing of his life flowing through us.